Welcome back to Body Politic. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy. You're listening to KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. We are talking today with Victoria LaFrambois and Jennifer Bear Medicine about physical activity. Vicky was just telling us at the end of the last half hour about how she has transformed from someone who flunked a health class and came in last in a half marathon to someone who actually created an amazing group of people who support each other in physical activity. So she was sharing her evolution with us and laughing, and we were all laughing. But in the past, Vicky and I and Jennifer have talked a little bit about the not-so-funny parts of trying to be physically active when you may not look like an elite athlete or something. Some of the barriers that can come from other people. Do you all want to talk about that?
Do you want to go first, Jen?
Sure, I can. For me personally, it's not fitting the mold of the so-called person that goes and works out, who doesn't have the bulges and the extra pounds. I remember walking into our workout facility, and there's people that are lifting weights and they are very toned, and you didn't really see a lot of fat on them, or people that are running on the treadmill, or they're just in sync with their workout, or they're very in tune with it. And I walked in going, I have no clue what I'm doing. I don't even know if I can even handle 5 minutes on the treadmill. I had no direction, but I just knew I had to be there, and I knew I had to at least try. So the first few times that I tried there, I was very self-conscious of my body. I didn't want to be just sweating at going a minute. Into some workout. And I was more worried about what people were going to think about me being there because I was bigger than most people there. But then after I start going and I start getting that natural high and I start working out and building up stamina, I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I start seeing more people like me being in there. I was more aware of others being feeling like I did. And so when they would come in, I found myself greeting them and being like, hey, how you doing? And starting up a conversation. And then gradually I got to know the others that were the more toned, or they had their activity down. And I start asking questions. What do you do in this instance? Or why are you doing this? So I got myself out of that being shy to asking why, because I wanted to know what inspired them, or how they did their workout, or just getting some insight to help me build and find something that worked for me, not for them, but for my body size and for me. And also I started looking online. I started reading. I started educating myself, not only about the physical aspect of it, but about the food aspect. And I'm no expert by no means, but I found something that worked for me. When I lost all the weight that I had lost, I seriously had no, like, I have a big butt, but I didn't have a butt. I was just this untoned person. I lost the weight, but I needed to start strengthening. So what I start doing, and I never in my life thought I'd start lifting weights, because to me, I always had this image of, I'm going to look very non-feminine, mm-hmm. is what I thought it was. And so I was afraid to lift big and to lift too much. But after I started lifting, I'm like, I don't have a body like everybody else. I don't fit the mold. This is me. This is what I want to do. And if I have, I've always had big calves. If they're muscly, so be it. If I have big thighs and they're toned, so be it. So for me, I had to just break out of what everybody else thought and design something for me, and to feel beautiful in a big body with toned legs. And I always have these little wiggly bat wings, but that's part of me. And I had to just, okay, it's okay to lift weights and to lift small weights, large weights. And to me, that really got me going, and it helped me lose more weight on top of doing the cardio. So for me, it was just finding a balance for myself and not what worked for everybody else, what worked for me.
Okay. And Vicky, for you, what have some of the barriers been?
So I'm not a big gym person. I have gym phobia. So I do a lot of my training outdoors, and like I said, I have been out in all kinds of weathers. So I was training for the last negative split in 2019, and I had the last finisher shirt on, and it said negative split, and we had just finished. My dog and I, he's my biggest trainer. He will go miles and miles and miles. He'll do short miles. He doesn't care. But anyway, we had just finished and we were heading to the car, and there was another gentleman who had the same finisher shirt on. And he said to me, he goes, "You must have done the 5K, because at that particular race, you can do the 5K, 10K, or the half marathon." And I looked at him and I said, "No, I did the half marathon." And he said, "Oh, there's no way in hell."
Really?
I said, "Nope, this fat girl can move when she needs to. She can move."
Wow.
I clearly said, "I've been heavy. This is my heaviest I've ever been. And I've been smaller, and I'm still the same person, you know." And I had finished, and I said, "Nope, this fat girl can move." And we got in the car, and my dog did not like him. My dog got all at him, and he was just looking at him. And you know, we got in the car, and we just did our water thing, and that guy's just looking at me. But anyway, you know, I know that I have to incorporate the weights and stuff like that. And I'm like, Jen, I'm thinking, if I lift weights, I'm gonna have these disproportionate legs and arms and things like that too. I too get the big calves and stuff when I do things. And yeah, and I go into the gym and I'm like, I don't know what any of these things are. You know, what are these things, and what are these people throwing these things around for and making these god awful noises? So that was one of my biggest barriers, is I don't know what to do with these things. So once I got a gym that I finally found, and you know, that one gym that they say is a no free judgment gym, that doesn't necessarily mean that. You can shop around for gyms, and you know, you can go in and you can say, even though you bought this membership, you can go in and say, "This is not working for me," and you can cancel your membership and you can go to another gym until you can find the perfect gym and the trainers and the people that can work for you. It doesn't mean that that one gym is the end all be all of it, and you can find the perfect gym for you that works for you and the hours that work for you. And I did that. I belonged to three different gyms until I found the one that worked for me. And I had three different trainers there until I found the one. And then I found my person, my trainer, and she went back to get her master's, which I love. I love that she did that, but now I'm lost again. But I will find the right trainer again, and I just need somebody that tells me what I need to do and works with me and all that. Because you know what? I didn't know what the heck a burpee was, and I hate burpees.
I don't even know what is a burpee.
Oh, it's this god awful thing that it's like whoever invented it, heck with them. It's this thing you drop down and you do like this push up, and then you come up and you jump up with your hands in there. It's hell. Don't ever learn it. Don't ever do them. Don't.
And yet you're trying to do them.
Yeah, they're awful. But anyway, it's a barrier. It's a barrier.
Burpee is the barrier. Well, let's talk though about actually, and Jennifer, you can probably speak a fair amount to this, about the importance of weight training, about why it's important for our bodies, what it does for us.
Me personally, I feel that it helps tone and build muscle, helps you with your lean muscle. When you lose weight, sometimes you tend to lose the muscle, aspect of it and the toning. And I found that out when I lost the weight. I felt okay, but I looked, and I'll be honest, I looked sick. I looked like, in my sense, I felt like I was still big, but I looked like I was emaciated, in a sense. And I was like, I don't look good this small. I don't look good with things, you know, kind of sagging and whatnot. So I think it builds strength. It builds muscle, lean muscle. It builds strength. And it's just an overall, you feel better.
Well, it helps with bone strength also, right? Does it exactly. help? Helps prevent osteoporosis.
And so I like to incorporate both cardio and strength training. Mm-hmm. And then you got to know, for me personally, you don't have to lift a heavy amount. You can do light weights and your repetitions. And see, I had to learn that. I didn't know any of this. So I also went on like YouTube. I went online, and we don't really have that. Like Vicky and a lot of people have that opportunity to go to the gym and shop around. I wish I was able to do that, but we don't. We're pretty limited here at home. Just recently, they've trained some trainers to do the go into the gym, and they can help you out. We really didn't have that for a long time. So we have one, it's a Southern Pagan Healthcare. And since COVID, they shut that down. So I was really bummed about that. But at our hospital, we have a little gym, which they closed down but opened for employees. So I've been very thankful for that. But like I said, the direction of somebody actually being there to help give guidance has been very limited. So you've got to know how to. And that's the big thing, is finding resources or finding people of like mind to ask questions, or somebody that had lifted in the past to help you with some direction.
Yeah. So
can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. There are some apps too, though, that can help you with that too.
And I found some of those also. Mm-hmm. During the COVID, you had to get very resourceful and, like you said, doing home. And I found a lot of resistance training had really helped out in that process also with my strength training.
So both of you actually work in Native American health, although Vicki, now you're in Washington State, and Jennifer, you're still in Montana, but you probably are both aware of some of the various programs that different tribes have tried to encourage physical activity. What is, not counting during COVID, what is available on the Blackfeet Reservation?
Like I said, the Res Meltdown was very helpful for me because it was competitive. There was a monetary at the end, everybody paid in. That was nice. I didn't win it, but for me, it gave me the motivation to start doing something for myself. We have, like I said, the Southern Pagan Healthcare has really opened doors for people. They try to do Zumba. They try to do activities for people of all walks of, or all age groups. Mm-hmm. The summertime they have fun runs for kids. So they try to incorporate young and old. With different tribal programs, something to promote health. Those are things for.
Okay. And Vicki, in your job and your experience, what kind of programs are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot of those when they're doing fundraisers and stuff. They're doing a lot of fun runs, those type of things. I'm seeing them opening up more health centers, fitness centers across the state here in Washington. I'm seeing that across Montana, I'm seeing a lot of these res meltdowns. I'm seeing more competitions like that across the state of Montana.
Okay.
I'm just seeing more things like that. I'm seeing more nutritious things being served at meetings.
Oh, excellent.
Pre-COVID, I'm seeing that. I'm seeing instead of, you know, pasta and mashed potatoes and gravies, I'm seeing a lot more vegetables. I'm seeing less breads.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. Our guests today are Jennifer Bear Medicine and Vicky LaFromboise. We have been talking about physical activity. Let's talk a little more about the nutrition component. I don't know whether or how often you, Vicky, for example, set weight loss as a goal, but certainly you have set physical activity as a goal, and you've talked a lot about the things you've learned in terms of nutrition. Can you talk a little bit more about that, about what you've learned?
So, you know, what I learned that first year in my half marathons, about the 9-10 mile marker, I was cramping up where I was ready to quit. I was going to say, I'm done. 10 miles, come get me. I'm done. I'm not even going to finish. And I'm not a quitter. I think, Nania, you have worked with me long enough to say that I finish things.
Yes.
And I was going to quit three different times. I was going to quit. And, what I found out is I wasn't eating enough protein. I was thinking that a little bag of oatmeal before the race was going to get me through 13 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that I have to eat enough protein to get me through. And then what I was learning, you know, you hear a lot that, oh, you got a carb overload. Well, what I was thinking was that you just get to eat all kinds of pasta and all that the week before. Well, you got to stay within certain amount of calories and all that. And then you replace some things with maybe some pasta and things like that. But that doesn't mean you just get to overeat on pasta, but you replace certain things, and then, you know, also increase like the protein, you know, a couple days before and that, but you just don't get to overeat. And so when I, like the mornings of, then I increased the protein, not just a little bit of oatmeal. Then when I was hitting that 9-10 mile marker, I wasn't cramping up in my calves and stuff like that. And then I was bringing little more protein snacks, like protein bars and stuff like that. And when like 5 or 6 miles, I was taking a little bite of protein bars and I wasn't losing that energy. I was able to go on. So like I said, I was learning a lot. And then drinking stuff afterwards also, you know, like these after workout drinks and stuff like that. So replenishing, and also replenishing with water beforehand. You wouldn't think of this stuff, but it's just learning and reading and educating myself on all this. You know, I was thinking myself as an elite athlete, and I was being an elite athlete, even though my body wasn't in an elite athlete shape, but I was doing the elite athlete stuff. Huh. So I had to eat like that.
Interesting. And so, Jennifer, what about you in terms of nutrition? What do you kind of go for in general?
I also had to put in perspective that I am a type 2 diabetic. So I had to, like when I was doing the nutrition classes, I didn't know how, I'll be very honest. I ate the meat, potatoes, fast food type things. And I had to re-educate myself. I like food. I'm not going to lie. I like to eat. I like sweets. I had to go in with that mindset of food being my fuel. Not just in enjoyment, I like to eat. But I also had to remember, this is going to get me here. So when I'm working a long hour shift, I'm not going to drop blood sugar. I'm not going to drop energy level. So I drank a lot of soda back in the day. And I completely quit, and it's a lot of water, incorporating water, and just knowing that that can keep me going, and having like iced tea without sugar. And I love that. That works for me. Learning to do not so much portion control, but eat and be hungry and be okay with that, and not overeating, not taking an excess. eating these meals and then having a snack in between when I know that my fuel is going to start, or my sugar is going to start dropping. But healthy choices. Instead of having a candy bar, you know, some sour sticks with some peanut butter. I didn't want to get it to overloading to where I'm counting this or doing that. For me, it doesn't work. I have to be really realistic and know that this will help me here. This will help me here. But it's more nutritious than, per se, a sugary snack. So I had to learn that for myself. And it's helped. And also with the training part of it, I have had some of the protein drinks that have helped. Like after if I lift, do some weightlifting, I can take this here. But that not rely just solely on that. You have to have a nutritious meal, proteins, meats, that sort of thing. And I'm still learning. I'm always going to keep learning, but to know what my body can withstand and then checking blood sugars and seeing how that works for me is what I do.
Do you feel like your relationship with food has changed over time?
Oh, honestly, yes. I can honestly say I was an emotional eater. Mm-hmm. Let's reward ourselves here. When something would go bad, I'm going to eat. And I just found myself just going for the snack, going for the chips, going for this, going for that. And I had to really look at that with my, the lady that was teaching me about the dietary intake with my diabetes. She actually, the emotional aspect of it that I was telling you about earlier, mm-hmm. she had, like, and it stemmed to relationships within my family that there were triggers that I didn't realize. And for me, I didn't really open up to that until she started counseling me on that. And I tell you what, that was mind blowing for me. Because of this relationship that wasn't so great in my family, it trickled down to me running for food when I was in something that didn't go right or a bad situation. And just learning about that had really kind of was my pivotal point where I did turning, and it wasn't run to this food, do this. I could say, okay, I'm going to go for a walk and just emotionally and physically work through it.
Okay, and Vicky, what about you?
Oh, yeah. Over the years, I've always been on a diet all my life, it seems like. I've always been on a yo-yo diet or this and that. And not so much anymore. It's just learning how to eat and what foods are good foods. And I, Jen said it earlier, food is fuel. And since I really have used that, and I write it different places now, and sometimes when I really want that cookie or that sweet thing, and I'm like, well, what is that going to do for me? And it changes that attitude. Or do I really want that? Or is that really going to help me? Because it's probably not going to help me for that long now. So that really has changed.
Right.
So
it's going to,
yeah, it has changed.
It's going to help you for that.
And I'm probably not going to diet like I used to yo-yo diet all the time now. So it's changed.
Good. Good.
And I love food too.
Well, we have about 5 minutes left. I guess in general from both of you, I appreciate that we've talked about physical activity and then we've talked about nutrition also, and you're changing relationships to both of those things. Can you just each of you give kind of a summary about your connection with your body image, your internalized feelings about your body, where it may have been in the past and where it is now? Because it sounds like now is a lot healthier for both of you, like healthier, mentally healthier and more joy-filled.
You know, I worked hard and I lost a lot of weight, and I finally fit into these little pants, and I was at the store and I had this bright shirt on, and this lady said, oh, you're just too big to wear that color.
Oh God.
And I was like, you know, who are you to judge? You don't know my path to get here. So I just don't judge. You don't know that path to lose that maybe 5, 10, 15, 25 pounds. So just don't judge people because you don't know their journey, you know? And And it's been an up and down with me all my life. And I've been thin. I've been heavy. I'm still the same person.
What about you, Jennifer?
I agree with her 100%. I look back now. I didn't worry about what I said so much because I've lost out on some things that I could have just went for and did. Now it's from then to now, I wish I could have told myself back then, it's going to be okay. You just get through it and you keep trekking and you keep going. Now I'm at a place where I'm like, you know, big or small, like Vicky said, we're still the same people. And I have more self-love and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm at a place where I'm happy with my body, big or small.
Oh, I love to hear that.
And I'm just glad I did a half marathon.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Never thought I would have.
Excellent.
I'm actually I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe I'll do a marathon.
You're both way ahead of me.
It might take me all day, but I might do it.
You can.
Yeah. All right. Well, what you all are talking about reminds me of when we did the previous show with Jen McClellan and Katie Michael. One of the things they said was that, you know, by looking at them and their body size, that told you absolutely nothing about them or their health, really. It's like what you said, Vicky, you don't know their journey. You don't know how active they are. You don't know all kinds of things about their life. So using that one thing to judge them just is wrong. And then our most recent show we were actually doing on transgender issues, and somebody said, who was a parent, and what they taught their children was, we don't comment on other people's bodies. And, you know, that was such a sort of simple, distilled down way to teach a child. We don't comment on other people's bodies. But it seems to me that's really good advice for all of us because we don't know other people's journeys. But I appreciate both of you sharing your journeys around food, physical activity, body image with me. Thank you both, Vicky LaFromboys and Jennifer Bear Medicine. Thank you to producer Robin Fly. You can hear Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM on the first and third Monday of every month at 1 p.m., or you can live stream the show at kgvm.org. Most shows are also available as podcasts, so you can listen anytime at kgvm.org.